Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. Doing everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Your host this evening, and tonight we would like to thank you for tuning in to us here live. And we have Pastor Steve Lee here with us, and he's going to be teaching on a bird's eye view. Amen. So as always, I do encourage you who are out there listening, please grab a pencil, a notepad, paper, pen, whatever you may have nearby. That way you can take notes and be able to give commentary at the end of the broadcast. Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over into the hands of Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. And brothers and sisters, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake unto righteousness and slumber no more as we sojourn in the land of promise by walking in the Spirit from glory to glory and from faith to faith. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Jesus Christ. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, today we want to talk about a topic, a bird's eye view. You know, everything in life works and operates because of what you see, what you're looking at. And sometimes we look at things from a different perspective. And when you look at it from the wrong perspective, you get the wrong results. You know, God is faithful. He's a faithful God. And his earnest desire is to be your all in all. He doesn't want anything else to be first in your life. And that's not because he's egotistical or fearful. Because, you see, love doesn't operate that way. And God is love. Perfect love. And perfect love casts out fear. He just wants your heart to be and remain whole, be pure, undivided, uncluttered, just as it was in the garden. But we allow our vision to become clouded, and then we become unfocused. And this happens through worry and doubt, fear and unbelief. The enemy uses pressure, and this pressure causes separation. Since nature does not allow a vacuum, this frustration that we enter into produces separation. I want you to see how the thing works. Your frustration because you don't think God heard you or you haven't experienced the manifestation, that frustration causes separation. It causes you to be filled with worry and doubt, unbelief and fear. See, you've got to just commit your heart. The Bible says about Abraham that he was fully persuaded. Okay, let me help you out. Everything that Abraham did, everything in the Old Testament, the Bible says all of those scriptures were given for our example, for our admonition. They were given so that we can look at what they did and we can follow the path. That's why the Apostle Paul, after writing 2/3 of the New Testament, said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Success leaves clues, okay? And we would do good to just follow the clues. And so since the devil is the one that perverts everything that God does, failure also leaves clues, and we find ourselves following the breadcrumb of failures rather than the breadcrumbs of success. Follow me as I follow Christ. See, we have steps that are preordained that we should walk in. See, God is expecting you to end up in victory. Why? Because he wrote it down. He's the one that said in Habakkuk 2:2, write down the vision, make it plain. Why, God? So that they that read it can run with it. Write down the vision so that people can see. And then he said that they that see it can run. That just blesses my heart. That tells me that he wants the word to work speedily. He didn't say that they that read it can walk with it. He said that they that read it can run. Glory to God. You know, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, it's true. There's two times in our lives when we can run. We can run because of fear, and generally we turn and run the wrong way when we're running from fear. But if we're running to win the race, then we're running in the direction, the path that's set before us. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. You know, let us run with patience the path that's in front of us, the race that's in front of us. Okay? See, and this is interesting. Notice he put the race in front of you. So that becomes your race, doesn't it? I do follow Paul as he follows Christ. I got that. They are our coaches and cheerleaders, if you would. But they are not going to run the race for me. They're waiting on me to get involved. See, it's my choice. Jesus has laid out the steps that I should walk in. See, they're preordained steps. They are guaranteed steps. See, but we look at things laterally, if you would, instead of having a bird's eye view. And we're going to talk about that. Okay? The devil uses the fears, the frustrations to cause the whole process of God to stop. When we look at the separation that frustration causes, then we begin to function by reasoning. Okay? We begin to try to help God. And God doesn't need your help. He only needs for you to believe. And that's all that's really required from you. Because the work is not done by you. Jesus gave us, again, follow the example. Jesus said, the works that I do, they're not me doing it, but it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See, God wants us to enter into that which is already done by Jesus so that we can walk in the same path that he walked in. This is why he told us, if we are heavy laden, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. If you're heavy laden, if you've got burdens, then he said, come unto me. When you find me, I'm going to deal with some things, okay? If you are tired, if you are frustrated, notice he's asking you. Again, I want you to see your part. He's asking you to be honest with him. Are you tired? The answer would be yes. Are you heavy laden? The answer would be yes. He says, now, I don't want to leave you like that. Would you please come unto me? And now when you get here, you'll know that you are in the right place, because now the only thing I need for you to do is take my yoke upon you. Let me be connected to you. A yoke is what they used to put two beasts of burden together so that they can make the work that had to be done easier, because two were now doing the work instead of one. And he said, take my yoke upon you. Put my yoke upon you. Be connected to me. Stop trying to go in your own direction. Follow me. Walk with me. You know, if you're going to put a yoke on and then try to go contrary to the other person that you're connected to, you're frustrating everybody. See, Paul says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. He says, the life that I now live and the life that I live in the flesh. He says, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Jesus said, come, take my yoke. And now what I need for you to do is to stop trying to work it out, take my yoke upon you, and then learn of me. See, he says, when you do this, then you will find something. You will find rest unto your souls. You won't have to fight to try to get it to get done. You will enter into a rest that he's given unto you. See, when I have the bird's eye view, when I look at things from heaven's perspective, That's basically what we're talking about here. Looking at things from heaven's perspective. See, if I'm looking out laterally and I'm comparing myself among them that are around me, the Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves or by themselves, he says that's not wise. Because now you're going to try to do what you see the people around you do. If you see them work hard, you're going to try to enter into that work that's hard. No, you need to enter into the rest. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. See? And Jesus said, come, take my yoke, learn of me. He says, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you're going to continue to try to function under your own yoke, it's not going to be easy or light. He told you that you had to recognize that your yoke was burdensome. It was heavy laden. And he says, I don't want you to function under that. I didn't create you for that. That is part of the curse that entered because of rebellion. And if you want to enjoy the good that God has for you, that's why he asks you. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you will change your diet. You will eat the good of the land. Remember, Jesus has given us the information in Psalms 23 that says he will set a table before you in the very presence of your enemies. If he can get you to sit down at the table, if he can get you to connect with him, then you stop toiling and you begin to find the rest unto your souls. And when your soul gets to the place where rest is understood by your soul, then you won't try to fight your way to victory. You know, I pray it almost every week. We have been made more than conquerors. I love that scripture because I understand that one that is more than a conqueror is one that did not have to fight for the victory. They simply walked into the place where the fight was given to them. See? When we look at it from heaven's perspective, he always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. See, this is an inheritance, beloved. This is what we participate in. We participate in an inheritance, not an earning. I mean, that's something you want to write down. You participate in an inheritance, not an earning. It's not about what you deserve. It's not what you have tried to make work out. That's not an inheritance. The way I understand it, an inheritance is something that was left for you by someone that loved you immensely. And they wanted to make sure that your life, your existence from the time they were no longer here, became easier because of what they did, not because of what you have to do. See? But we get unfocused and cloudy in our thinking. See, because we start questioning. We start functioning from reasonings. Again, some of the reasonings would be, do I deserve it? See, has nothing to do with your deserving. It has more to do with promise than it has to do with deserving. See, your God, that is such a loving God, he causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. The unjust, however, think they did something to earn the rain, and so they keep walking in that mindset. Those that have been justified, made as if I had never sinned, we enjoy our inheritance. See, we understand that we've been made joint heirs with Christ, not sub heirs, joint heirs. See, and as I understand that, then I am looking at it from God's perspective. I have a bird's eye view. See, the reason I went from there is because the bird's view of a thing gives you more than what you can see laterally. When you're looking laterally, you're looking at the problem through the problem. Okay, I want you to get that. Whenever you're looking laterally, out from wherever you are looking at your problem through your problem. And probably when you do that, you're going to try to make a way for you to get to your answer. And the only way to come up with that is to work your way through the problem. But see, you've been made more than a conqueror. Okay? And a bird's eye view causes you to look at things from a different perspective, and then you will see the steps that you should walk in. Instead of you flailing at everything that's in front of you and then going through emotional tumult because of what you are facing. Because when you try to go through your situations and circumstances, you're going to have to expend energy. And the energy that he wanted you to expend would be praise and worship, not fight and struggle. He has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He didn't say he's going to. He said he had, past tense, given you all things that pertain to life. I love that he put that first. He said he's given you everything that pertains to life. And if you understand, we can just look at it the way it's stated there. If you understand he's already given you everything that pertains to life, now you can approach it from a godly perspective. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, not life through sweat, not life through toil. See? He has removed your shame. And for your shame, given you a double portion. Glory to God. He's given you more than enough. See, so if you would begin to process your thoughts from that position, see, that's a heavenly view of the thing. That's not a view of you having to fight to get what God has already given you. See? He prepared a table before you, and this table was prepared in the very presence of your enemies. Okay? I mean, that's a scripture. We already know that. We've quoted that. And yet, after quoting it, we'll go and say, now, let me begin to fight. No, if he prepared a table, then he probably wants you to sit down at the table. Okay? Because he could have said, I've given you a stove, and now you have to go cook. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I've given you just a weapon so that you can go hunt. He said, no, I've already prepared a table before you. When he says a table before you, that tells me that it's my table. So it's going to have the things that I need and probably the things that I would like in the presence of my enemies to show that God is good. Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature heart, a perfect heart towards him. So if I have a perfect or mature heart towards him, then I understand he has already given me the victory. See, that would be a mature heart. An immature heart would be one or a heart that is fearful. Okay, that's what it says. It says fear in 1 John chapter 4. Fear has torment. He that fears cannot be made perfect in love. He's looking for those that have a perfect heart towards him, or a heart that understands, receives, and operates in, through, and by love. See, I know that nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not tribulation, not persecution, not distress, not famine, not nakedness, nay, in all of these things. I just love the way that he says things. He didn't say in two of these things, in one of these things. He said, nay, in all of these things. If the devil could align them all at the same time, I still would end up being more than a conqueror. See? That's a bird's eye view. See, that's me being mature in my relationship with God. And he's the one that, this is what he says in Philippians chapter 1. He says, he, verse 6, he that has begun a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. Paul was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform it. See, I put all of my trust in him. See, I don't put my trust in what I can do. I don't trust in the arm of flesh. When I trust in the arm of flesh, Jeremiah 17 tells me that I have departed from the living God. Cursed is man that puts his trust in man and that departs from the living God. See, I don't want to do that. I want to be found in fellowship with him. I want to be found in a position where he can work in my behalf. His eyes run to and fro so that he can show himself strong in the behalf of all of those that have a perfect heart towards him. See? That's what I want to be able to do. See? I want to be able to allow God to be glorified. Watch this. Wow, that's good, son. I want to allow God to be glorified so that he can then be satisfied with my life. If I'm trying to do the thing that he's already finished, then he will not be glorified and he cannot be satisfied with my life. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. See, it did not tell me without my struggle, he would not be pleased. He said he's only pleased by faith. I can cause him to be satisfied because the answers of my life come out of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's the way we have to look at it. That's the way we have to think. We need to renew our minds with these type thoughts because that's what he wants us to do. See? He wants us to leave our reasonings that require our help, which is already insufficient. Okay, come on now. This is what he told Paul. Paul was trying to do things. Paul kept praying. He said, boy, I had an issue, and I asked God three times about this issue. And every time God came back to me and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, I'm going to be glorified in your weakness, Paul, not in your strength. In my weakness, Paul says, his strength is then made perfect. Come on, y'all. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. When I recognize that I don't have to do it, it's going to be on him, then his strength is made perfect when I don't do what I've been doing all my life trying to make it happen. I need to believe unto victory. See? That's a whole different place. And it does take work because I'm going to try to do things in the flesh rather than do things by the Spirit. I have to be retrained to do things by the Spirit. I have to be reoriented so that the Word of God can now guide me. See? Thy Word is a lamp and a light. See, I have to be reoriented. I cannot bring my flashlight. I cannot bring my work light. I have to let his word be the light to my path. Let his word be the lamp to my feet. I have to let his word do that. See, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus was trying to help us with this, okay? Give us information, inspiration that would allow us to go from wherever we are unto victory. Beloved, God knows exactly where you are, and he's ordained steps that you should walk in, all right? And those steps are not going to be works those steps are going to be steps of faith. They're going to be steps unto belief. Okay? We've got to get this. Matthew chapter 6 was talking and referencing people that tried to do it by themselves, of themselves. Okay? And it had come over to multiple areas of their life. Watch this. Take heed, verse 1, that you do not your alms before men. So in our good deeds, watch this, these people begin to trust in their ability to execute. Watch. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. And the reason you can't do that is because you want to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. He's telling you, don't do things so that people can see all of the energy that you expended. They can see all of the sacrifice that you made. And then when you do that in front of them, he says you don't have no. Look at. Somebody say, if you do that, otherwise you have no reward. He did not say you have little reward. He said when you do this to be seen, so that people will lift you up and pat you on the back, blah, blah, blah. He says, when you do this, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Now, I love that. He did not say that you would not have a reward. He said you will not have a reward from your Father that's in heaven. Men might pat you on your back. And when they pat you on the back, look at what he says. Therefore, when you do as thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, that is their reward. They have their reward. That's it. There is no more. You wanted people to see you? They saw you. That's all you get. It didn't even say, wow. It did not even say that they appreciated what you did. It just said they saw you. How shallow is that? That's the only reward that you get, is that men saw you. It didn't say they appreciated it. They were moved with compassion because you did it. All the reward that you have, according to Scripture, is that men saw you. But when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and then because of that, your Father that seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when you prayest, notice that it had went from not only what they did as good deeds, it entered into this whole thinking, entered into their prayer life. Also, when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. I mean, you should just circle the seen of men every time you see it there. And verily, I say unto you that being seen is their only reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. See, God's wanting to, he's wanting to display his love. He wants to cause it to be seen openly, but you are trying to be seen of men. He didn't say what the reward is, but everybody will see it. I just want you to kind of get this. We've been looking at things from a different perspective and therefore entering into toil to try to get the thing done so that other people will feel good about us. Well, that's not what they're going to do. They just don't see that you're toiling. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, this is kind of interesting. Notice he said, when you pray. And he's trying to get you to do this in secret. But he doesn't want you, even in secret, to use vain repetitions. He doesn't want you to keep bombasting heaven with your request. Vain repetitions. Thinking that you may be heard. Okay, come on, come on. For their much speaking. See, this time you're trying to trick God. He said, don't be like them. Have a different view. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So he's talking about you talking to God in vain repetition. Okay? I just kind of want you to see this. See, these are some of the things that we've done because we've learned them through experientially, through our family members. But it's not what Jesus said. He said, don't do this. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Because the heathens do that because they don't know that they are connected to God. They're trying to get God's ear. That's good, sir. They're trying to get God's ear when God has already given them his heart. Glory to God. For God so loved the world. See, he's already given you his heart. He gave you his very best. He gave you his son. And you're trying to trick God by words being spoken over and over and over again. Heathen people do that. Okay. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. When you understand the right perspective, you start speaking differently. You start saying, all right, what I need is the kingdom to come. Ooh, glory to God. See, everything that you need is in the kingdom. And Jesus said the kingdom is in you. So your prayer should be, let the kingdom be exposed. Let the kingdom come forth. Let the kingdom be revealed. Instead of me being seen praying so that everybody knows I talk to God, I'm asking you to show me the kingdom. Let your kingdom be revealed in this conversation. If I'm praying to move God, then I'm wasting my time. If I'm praying to position myself so that the kingdom can be revealed, then God is glorified. He told us, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, I want your name to be hallowed. I want your kingdom to come. And I want your will to be done in earth. I love that phrase, in earth. We can say it, since you are made out of earth, thy kingdom be done in me as it is in heaven. That's what he prayed, thy kingdom be done in earth. All of these things that he has told you before were things that you should not be doing. So he wants the kingdom to be brought forth because of what you do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. Okay? That's just a different perspective. This takes the religious concepts away from it. It becomes intimate now, not religious. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, I want this conversation. I want this connection to be my daily bread. I want this to be how my life is ordained and constructed. Okay? Okay, again, he just told you that your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So this conversation is not so that you can get your need met. Because your Father knows what you have need of. And he's trying to guide you into that place of what you have need of. Your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come in me. See, it's a different place. It's not religious now. And let this be what I live by. Because man is not supposed to live by bread alone. Man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I need to hear what you're saying about me. Because then I can live by that word. I need to hear what you're saying for me. Because then I can live by that word.
because you are blessing me. Just glory to God. Just like you blessed Adam and Eve. When you made Adam and Eve, you created Adam and Eve, you said that thing that was good for Adam and Eve so that they can live by that which is good over out of your mouth for their life. I hope you caught that. And he wants to do the same thing for you. He wants you to stop dealing with religious understanding and become spiritual in the exchange, and then you will hear him say to you, because the Bible says in Psalms 68 that he daily loads us down with benefits. Blessed be the Lord God that daily loads us down with benefits. See? So he's always declaring good over you, speaking good into your future, giving you hope and a future. See? He's doing that. But because our understanding has been darkened, because we're trying to earn it rather than believe that what he says is going to come into my life and be fruitful in my life. Because his word will not return void. Come on, y'all. His word will not return void, but it shall prosper in the thing. Well, I am the thing whereunto it's been sent. I am the one that wants to accomplish the word by doing it. Thy will be done in me the same way it's done in heaven. You say it, and that's what manifests. I want that same thing to be in my life. You say it, and it'll be manifest. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For this is your kingdom. This is your kingdom. This is your power. This is your glory forever. See, I'm participating in the prayer. Jesus told me to pray this way, to position my heart from this place. Then I'll be able to pray, and this will be your kingdom. This will be your power. This will be your glory forever. I am his peculiar treasure. I am the place where he abides. See? He's taken up. He said, if any man open the door, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open the door, I and my Father will come in and we will sup with him. We will sit down at that table that has been placed before him in the very presence of his enemy. And we will tell him things that will cause him to understand, words of victory that have been sent to him, words of blessing that have been spoken over him. That will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive you your trespass. Not because he's trying to withhold something from you, but because you blocked it by holding on to unforgiveness. And he's trying to feel, you know, if you have a handful of something, I have a hard time putting something in your hand. I got to ask all the time, if you would just make a fist as tight as you possibly can. So right now, just make a fist, squeeze it as tight as you possibly can. Hold on to that. I mean, squeeze it. And now while you have it tight and while you are squeezing it, I want to ask you a question. What can you get into that hand? Absolutely nothing. Even though God is standing on the outside trying to give you everything that you would need, he can't, because you are clenching your fist, ready to fight rather than receive. And so God cannot get to you what he's trying to get to you because of this fist, this clenched hand that you have. Now I want you to let that go. First of all, tell me how good that feels. I know it feels good. Second, now you have the ability to grasp that which is new, grasp that which is necessary, grasp that which is intended for you. That's what God wants you to do. He says, if you forgive, I can put something new in your hand. But if you're going to stand there with your fist clenched, with your being full of yourself, then I cannot give you what I'm trying to give you. So it's not God holding it back. It's you stopping God. Forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. You're the one standing praying, so you would be the one that needs to release so that you can receive a new word from God, a new inspiration from God, a new idea and unction from God. But you can't do that if unforgiveness is what you choose to hold on to. So you have the wrong view of a thing. Then he goes on and shows us how many areas this has entered into. The thinking that I need to be seen of men. I need to be approved of men. I need men to know what I think, what I want to have happen. And he says, no, don't do that. Don't do that when you give alms. Don't do that when you pray. Don't do that when you fast. And all of these, all of these are avenues by which we want to approach God. And he said, you've been approaching it the wrong way. You have the wrong view. See? He said, so when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be mad because you are offering the Lord an opportunity to bring your body under subjection. Don't be mad about that. Because when you offer to the Lord, he is taking a hand that is empty now, that has released something, and he's going to fill it. Okay. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. See, they're doing it again. They're doing it to be seen of men, approved of men, put in regard by man, instead of doing it to allow God to open up to him to us the riches of heaven. And he says, because of that, truly, verily, I say unto you, all you go get is being seen of men. Okay? Or to appear unto men to do it. But when thou fastest, anoint your head, wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 19. This is not detached, this is attached. And I always read it as if it was parenthetical. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Okay? How do I lay up for myself? He just told us, by not trying to do it so that men can see it. Oh, I never saw that before. I always was making it something else. No, he talked to us for 19 verses. He talked to us and told us, don't do it to be seen of men. In three different areas. It says, so now that you understand that, now I need for you to stop laying up treasures on earth. Stop doing that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. He said, because when you do that, even though the men saw you, there was no reward. And you thinking that there should be a reward because of you being seen, but your reward just got corrupted. It just got eaten by other that took the offering. Moth ate your offering. I mean, just think about it. God never got that offering. Help me, please understand. He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. The people that you are trying to impress just stole your blessing. I mean, there it is. Because you positioned it to be seen of men. But he said, don't do that, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where you don't have to go through corruption and other people taking your offering. The devil is a thief. and he wants to take praise. He wants to take worship. He wants to be worship. He wants to be praised. And when you do something to be seen of men, the devil will steal what would have been worship to God. He will steal what would have been a praise unto God, and then you will not get the reward because you did it to be seen of men. And the only place you can get your reward from would be in the earth. And it's going to be corrupt, moth-eaten. For verse 21, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I mean, please understand that. He says that you're taking yourself. I told you that all of this was done for the frustration to set in because you didn't get your reward. And now since the frustration sets in, you're going to have doubts, fears, worry, and tumult in your life. And now that the devil has that working, then you become separated from God and separated from light, and now you're going to live in darkness. And he said, not just some darkness, great darkness. He said, okay, let's hear it again. For if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? He says, if you do it this way, then the light, the thing that you are looking to make you get from point A to point B, the thing that should illuminate your path of victory, he said, if that light is what you're using, that light is going to be darkness. And if that's what you're using, it's not going to be a little darkness, it's going to be great darkness. See? We got to get our heart right before the Lord, okay? Not because I said so. In your Bible, all of these words that we have read were words that were written in red. That means Jesus said this, not me, okay? He's trying to get us to look at things differently so that his will be done in me as it is in heaven. That his will be perfected in me, will be pure in me, because God wants to be my all in all. See? He wants to be able to fulfill his word in my life. He wants to be able to execute the promises daily, overload me, overtake me with promises. He daily loads me down with them. Then he says, no man can serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or else hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. And this way of thinking, it's not just money. It's money, possessions, fame, status. All of those things are what we use to be seen of men. He's been talking to us all 23 verses about being seen of men. When people see your status, you feel good about that. You have your reward. When they see your income, you feel good about that. Well, you have your reward. He says you can't serve that way of thinking and serve God. Mammon. It would include riches. It would include status. It would include what you possess. That's what mammon would be. Because what that is that would be the place of your trust, okay? God wants your trust to be in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't have a part of your heart reserved for people thinking good and applauding you. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Because when you do that, now he can direct your path. But if you've already committed your way to allow men to be seen, you can't get your directions in light, because that light that you're walking in is great darkness. And then verse 25, he says, because of all of this, therefore, Anytime you see the word therefore, please back up and see what it's there for. So all of the things he said from verse 1 to verse 25 are the therefore that he's talking about. Therefore, because of this, I can say to you, don't take thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? This is how I got to the bird's eye view. He said to consider, behold, look at. See, notice the kingdom of heaven is speaking. It's speaking through the birds of the air. Okay? He says, when you look at birds, birds don't try to be seen of other birds. Birds give glory to God. That's it, period. When they praise, they're not praising man. We get to hear their praise, but they're not caught up in whether or not we hear it. You've never seen a bird standing on the corner taking up money so that they would know it's time to sing. See, they're not doing it to be seen of men. They're doing it as an honor to God. We just get to see it, and we should take note from that position of heart that they're not picking up and selling tickets and giving everybody a time when they're going to be here. The bird releases praise when the bird's heart is engaged to God. See, the bird does things. See, they don't function under the principles of you watch me and then I'll do it. They function in kingdom principles. They look to God. They trust God. They follow his directions, and they enjoy his provisions. See, they don't participate with great darkness, because darkness to them would represent a storm, an uneasy way. Darkness would represent trouble. See, we need to have a bird's eye view. See, they look to the Lord for their supply. And because they look to him for all of their supply, the Lord feeds them. They trust in the Lord, not in their storehouses. They don't gather into barns. They gather into life. Consider them. Think about them. See, they don't gather into barns. They don't try to store up for tomorrow. They live day by day. They trust God each and every day. And his faithfulness to them has been displayed each and every day. That's why they sing. That's why they praise. See, they don't do it to show off to us. It says they don't have to gather into barns. They gather into life. The nest that they live in is a day-by-day nest. It's not a nest for the long-term future, because most birds are going to fly south for the winter. So that nest that they just made, it's not going to be there when they get back. Storms will happen, whatever will happen. Okay? But they learn to trust God. Yes, they will make a nest, but it's a day-by-day nest. It's a trust every day. See? And so we need to learn that information from them. See, their dwelling place is seasonal, not perennial. They don't come back to the same place next year. Sometimes when the birds leave, we might even knock the nest down. See? They enjoy life on the move. They flow with the wind, with the spirit. The wind or the spirit gives them information. When they start feeling a chill in the air, you'll start noticing right now, because the chill is in the air over most of the country, and you'll start noticing that the birds are leaving the chill and they're going down to the place of warmth. The wind gives them their direction. But we don't do that. We're going to stay in the place where we got to work it out and be seen of men. We're going to stay in the place where we sweat and toil instead of moving with the wind. See, they're living in the freedom of each moment, and they enjoy the fullness of the provision of the Lord day by day. Notice it says they don't gather into barns, but it didn't say they didn't gather. See, they gather into life is what I said. Let me give you the acronym that God gave me for the word gather. Gather. God's advantages to help enjoy rest. God's advantages to help enjoy rest. Each of the letters in the word gather will give you that sentence of God's advantages to help enjoy rest. See, my gathering is not for my boasting. It is rather for me to enjoy the rest of the Lord. It's there for me to release a praise that can only be given in the day of my gathering, not in the day of my use. Come on, y'all. See, if I'm gathering to hoard it up so that I'll have it in the case of a rainy day, see, no. My praise is now different. I need to praise him in the day of my gathering, not the day of my projected use. I have no problem with you doing it. You can have, I'm not telling you that you're not supposed to leave an inheritance for your children's children. You are. But the gathering process is not for you to be a prideful individual because of all you can amass. Because Jesus tells us, if we're going to try to get to Luke next week, chapter 12, and it says in that a man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. See, so God doesn't want you to be connected to that with a short string. He wants you rather to be able to give praise because of the faithfulness of your God. God's advantages to help enjoy rest. He said to look at consider the fowls of the air, the birds of the air. They don't gather into barns. See? He says, then he goes on to say, to consider behold, the fowls of the air, verse 26, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not better than, much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why do you take thought for raiment? Next point. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, has another purpose tomorrow, O ye of little faith, do you not think that he shall clothe you? Therefore, because of this, I'm telling you again, don't take no thought saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what withal shall we be clothed. For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, this is the second time he said this, knoweth what things you have need of, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's trying to get us to use the view of the bird, that they don't have to go through all this trouble that we go through trying to make life, trying to take thought and then taking the thought and making it into a sentence. You take the thought saying, what shall I? How shall I? What will I need to do? See, you shouldn't take the thought and say that. God doesn't want you to take the thought and say that. Notice that he said that the lilies of the field, they do not toil. So I'm going to give you another acronym, okay? They are not troubled by occurrences inside life. Troubled by occurrences inside life. They don't toil. They don't allow stuff to ruffle their feathers. Amen. See, they know that their Heavenly Father is going to take care of them. They don't worry about that. They're not troubled by occurrences inside of life. They live by day to day because of the faithfulness of God, not because of their work, not because of the ability to store. See? The flowers live, and I mean, they come on, y'all. Perennial flowers look good every year in the same place. Amen. See? Oh, no, annual flowers do that. No, perennial, that's right. I'm trying to make sure. Because one, you have to plant every year. Those are annuals. Perennials come back, and they look good every year. But they never toil to look good. They never tried to make themselves pleasing to you. They were appreciating what God did in them, for them, and through them, and then God is honored because of their appreciation of what God did, not because of what they did. They didn't try to be the prettiest flower in the flower bed. They would much rather be seen or viewed in a bunch than to be viewed individual. Glory to God. That's why you see the flowers in the garden or in the field. Hallelujah. That's good, sir. So you don't see the flowers trying to get in a place of independence. They'd rather be interdependent. They'd rather be used of God in the setting that they are found in. And that gives God glory, being used of God in the setting where God placed them. That gives him glory. Not looking and saying, I would look much better over there in that place. That's not the conversation of the flowers. They don't take that thought saying, move me to a different place. Make me look better in a with a different sunlight. They don't take the thought saying. What they say is thank you in the place where they are. Praise you in the place where they are. And Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like that. Everything that Solomon could do, he did. These flowers are beautiful from the stem up, all the way throughout. See? Because they have the bird's eye view of what life should be. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought, saying, what shall I wear? What shall I eat? How shall I be clothed? We have to have a different view, beloved. God wants to be our all in all. Whatever you focus on, it will determine your direction. It will also set your expectation. And it will give you your endurance through the trial. Let's look at it from heaven's perspective. Let his will be done in you as it is in heaven, so that you can give him the glory, the honor, and the praise that's due his name. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word that you sent to heal us and deliver us, for your word that has life in it, and that life will be released to cause people to give glory to you. Thank you, Father, that we can look unto you, put our eyes on you, have the right view of what you have started, because you've begun a good work. You're faithful to complete it. So we thank you, Father, that you brought us out of darkness, and you don't want us to walk in darkness, think in darkness, talk in darkness. You want us to live in the marvelous light that we've been translated into, the light of the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you, Father, for making it plain to us this day. We give you praise for that, sir. Glory and honor, committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, folks. let's go ahead and open up lines and see if we can get some commentary for tonight's teaching, starting with area code 470-418. 470-418, you have the mic.
Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome. Welcome again. Thank you for joining. Go ahead. 418. 18.
Amen. It looks like 418 is just enjoying the show. The next caller we had,
amen,
they dropped off. So, Pastor Steve, right, is there anything that was the last caller that we had? So, was there anything else that you would like to close out on before?
No, I mean just believing God to help us change our view of life and then of Him, so that we would be able to enjoy the stuff, so He can display us the same way He displays those flowers. He said Solomon in all of his glory was not set up to be released like that. So, amen. That's
amen.
All, Brother Mike.
All right, folks. Well, we do thank you for tuning in to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you have been blessed by the teachings that you have heard, please sow a seed here at www.livedeliverance.com. Just go there and you can click on the donate tab, and there you'll be able to make your donation. Also, if you would like to go back and listen to any of the shows, you can go back into our archive at www.blogtalk.com/livedeliverance, and there you'll be able to go and listen to every broadcast that we've had here in the archives. Now, with that being said, we would like to thank you for your continued support. Shalom, everyone. Have a good week. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.